The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, أو you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We then begin this sermon the way the Commander of the Faithful used to begin his, by advising us, Usikum ibadallah bittaqwallah, that I advise you, O the servants of God, to be God-conscious, God-fearing, and pious human beings. When we look at the fitrah of a human being, the innate nature that we've been created with, if you recall a month prior, we talked about the fitrah and what the fitrah is. You know, the fitrah is something that is given to us as a gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is something which is naturally found within all human beings. And the responsibility is that we utilize this fitrah to find and connect ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one of the points we always have to recall and remember is that this fitrah is, if we can just put it, it's like a beacon of light that is within each and every one of us, right? But it serves or it remains in a state of potentiality. Yeah? That means it has the potential of either being utilized to illuminate our lives and to illuminate the lives of everything around us, the way light does, or it has a way of becoming extinguished, sullied and rusted because we didn't utilize it correctly. It's in a state of potentiality, just like a youth, yeah, who has the potential of becoming the best servants of God or transgressing against Allah, is in a state of potential. Likewise, our fitrah is in a state of potential. And it depends on how we utilize our fitrah, our innate nature, depending on what we expose it to. It can either blossom and shine brighter, illuminating everything, or it can be sullied, as we talked about. And this internal light eventually succumbing to the environments that we live around us. The thing we have to understand about our fitrah, and it's important, right, is that even if a human being does not intentionally sin and does not live a life that is vicious, simply not taking the time to nurture the fitrah, to blossom the fitrah, the world has a way of sullying and dimming the life of the fitrah on its own, right? This is why there's a constant struggle, right? It's not just the struggle of not sinning. It's the struggle of trying to become better every day and not becoming stagnant and not becoming like a water that is not flowing, because a water that doesn't flow eventually spoils, right? And so the fitrah is very similar, right? We have to constantly work towards it because the world has a way of numbing it, if we can put it that way. And there are many reasons for this, right? For example, we are constantly exposed to things that are counter to Islamic values in the world that we live in. Whether we live in an Islamic world or we don't, the world has become small today. There are so many isms, materialism, secularism, that we are exposed to. Things which Islam says are haram, are halal in the environment that we see and we live around us. Munkar is no longer munkar, it's no longer reprehensible. And even though as believers, we don't engage in these things. We don't engage in haram. We don't engage in these munkars. But because we are constantly exposed to them, it has a way of numbing our soul. It has a way of sullying our fitrah. You add on to that, that sometimes we have taken our religion more as a custom and a tradition rather than this light that needs to be focused on, rather than it becoming a heartbeat of our existence. I mean, just think about it, right? From the perspective of our salah that we're about to recite, the fact that, you know, we can wake up in the middle of the night asleep, yeah, and pray that salah half asleep and still fulfill all the requirements of the dhikr, it shows that we have become accustomed to it, right? But we have to have that mindset that every time I come for salah, this is not something that's just a checkbox. It has to be something which is reviving me. It's the fuel to my existence. But because, again, we have been doing it for so long, it just has a way of doing that. It has a way of becoming ritualistic. And you add on to that, right? The pursuit of material comforts. Now again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. No one says we can't live a comfortable life. But the natural byproduct of us seeking a material enjoyment, even if it be in the most modest of ways, is that it will distract us from the pursuit of spiritual strength. You look at all of these reasons. We don't have to be sinful for our fitrah to become extinguished. We don't have to be sinful for our fitrah to become rusted. And so what it requires is that we constantly work. We constantly improve. We constantly become better. You just take the example from our history. 50 years, only 50 years after the wafat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum. The ummah was in such a state that Aba Abdullah alayhi salam had to rise for reformation. 50 years. Yeah, the ummah had already become in that state. Imagine where we are 1400 years later, right? And so we have to reflect on this. And you know, the beauty of God is that He gives us opportunities to awaken to this reality. Yeah? You look at many times where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the way that God works mysteriously and beautifully, He gives us what is known as opportunities of yaqza, yeah, awakening. You know, yaqza in Islamic akhlaqi literature is the opposite of ghafla. Ghafla is this normal state of unawareness or unattentiveness that a human being goes through in life. The way sometimes we do, we wake up, we have a cup of coffee, we get ready, we get in the car, we go to work, almost robotic, right? We are accomplishing things, alhamdulillah, but how much are we accomplishing for our souls, right? It takes a human being to awaken to realize that, man, I got to work harder. I have to work better. And this is what's known as yaqza, right? Yaqza comes in different ways. You know, sometimes yaqza or this awakening comes when a human being hits rock bottom, right? Rock bottom is not a state where you want to hit. Yeah, but if you've ever hit rock bottom, you realize, man, there's nowhere to go but up now. Yeah, because this is where I am ashamed of what has happened. And oftentimes these rock bottoms that we're talking about is where I see a very strong material consequence to my action. Like a person who sins will get arrested. Now they're in jail, now they think about their actions and they're like, man, I have to improve. Or they do something, they say something, they are embarrassed, they realize that, man, now I have to improve. Sometimes we hit rock bottom. That's God's way of telling us, look, this is your chance now. Come back to me. I will take you to me, right? Sometimes rock bottom or sometimes yaqza comes when we are faced with some type of rude awakening, whether it's a death of a loved one, yeah, whether it's a natural disaster that strikes, whether now the doctor tells me, Baba, if you don't do something, you're going to suffer tremendously. I get this awakening, right? And again, that's God's way of showing us that, look, you need to change before it's too late. If we look at yaqdas and opportunities of awakenings, I swear to you, one of the most beautiful examples of awakening is Karbala. Yeah? When we look at Karbala, and if we understood Karbala, and if we ponder over Karbala, we will see that it has a natural way of awakening a human being. We saw that even immediately after the tragedy of Karbala. What happened? The uprising of Medina happened. It took the death of Aba Abdullah, the martyrdom of Aba Abdullah, for the uprising of Medina, the uprising of Mukhtar. It didn't have a long-term effect, but it requires people to continue that movement, right? And so I tell you, and I swear to you, and I believe this, and I ponder over this, that if we attended these gatherings with the right intentions, And if we attended it with the desire of becoming better, it doesn't matter who the speaker was, where the speaker was, Allah will give us an opportunity of awakening. And so it's our responsibility to make sure that we utilize this awakening correctly. And you know, in that light, and in this epilogue that we talked about today, the theme that we're going to continue on is we want to use this awakening to become a better human being. We have to, right? I don't want me, and I'm speaking to myself now, and I'm hoping that, and I'm sure that many of us are alike. I don't want us to go back to the normal lifestyle that we had. Yeah, we weren't bad people. Yeah, we were not bad people. But man, there's room for improvement. There's room to ascend towards Allah. We have to take that.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد صلي على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه